WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. I hope everybody's having a great night and you're having fun, because we are. We have lots of stuff to talk about. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at LinTour. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive, and join us and interact with us. Do all the things. If you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Prime Games Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. Yeah, we got news, notes, all the stuff. Probably should update that command. It's a little off.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need to update the command. I'm pretty sure that he's worked like 30,000 days at this point.
We're going to Nightbot. We're going to update the command on the dates because that's an old print command.
Yeah. You might as well just set it till the end of time, because I'm pretty sure Brent is never going to take a vacation.
Where's my conversation with Brent? Okay, I have a close enough number now. Okay.
You have a close enough? You have like a...
I have a number. We have a number. He gives an actual number. So anyway, we got stuff to get into this evening, don't we?
Oh boy, we have some news this week. Everybody kind of came back from the new year and just decided, hey, let's have some fun. And oh my gosh, did we have some fun with this, you know, this week. And I think we have to talk about the biggest story that dropped, which is brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And that is that at long last, the WWE 2K22 trailer dropped, and it had a special guest, and I'm super excited about it because I hope it leads to other things. Y'all, they brought in Tim the Tatman for the trailer for 2K22.
As you see on your screens right now, you see the WWE 2K trailer for WWE 2K22, which will be released on March 11th.
And I don't even know what to do with it. Like, this is the crossover that I've been wanting. And best of all, guys, best of all with this, they had interaction between Tim the Tatman and Taker, and it seems like, at least according to Tim, that they bonded while they were doing the shoot. I just don't even know what to do with this. So I hope that leads to Tim gaming with some of the wrestlers. I hope it leads to him doing demos. I hope it leads to him being on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. Like, all the things. Personally, I think it's really, really cool that they brought in Tim, just because it's a really nice, you know, like, crossover. They also have Machine Gun Kelly, which is maybe not the best person to have in there right now, but it's cool.
So we got some details.
We do have some details. Let's talk about the game, because the game looks super pretty. Like, it looks like they just did a complete total rehash of it, and I want to see more.
Okay.
So let's find out what's new.
I have a whole thing. 2K today announced a full set of features for WWE 2K22, the new next installment of the flagship WWE video game franchise from Visual Concepts, featuring Rey Mysterio on the cover in the celebration of his 20th anniversary as a WWE superstar. A globally recognized icon, Rey Mysterio is synonymous with the Mexican tradition of Lucha Libre, featuring fast-paced action, incredible aerial maneuvers, and mass competitors, and paved the way for many high-flying, agile superstars. The decorated high flyer has held multiple championships across his storied career, performing his own unique style, wearing an array of colorful and iconic masks, proving that the ultimate underdog hits different. WWE 2K22 is scheduled for a worldwide release on March 11, 2022, and is available right now for pre-order. Representing the culture of Lucha Libre as a cover superstar for WWE 2K22 is a moment of great pride for me, said Rey Mysterio. I'm looking forward to sharing the stories behind the big moments of my career with a dedicated community of players and connecting with WWE fans in a whole new way as they play through my 2K showcase. So, there's all that. All the features players can handle, from a redesigned gameplay and engine to new controls, upgraded visuals, WWE 2K22 is set for to look, feel, play, and hit different. The engine, coupled with WWE's 2K most stunning graphics to date, ensure an unprecedented level of realism for the franchise, alongside an updated and intuitive control scheme, as well as an immersive presentation and varied camera angles. Players will feel the pressure and reward of every punch, kick, and slam. Popular game modes, including the return of 2K Showcase starring Rey Mysterio, incorporating new features and updates, allowing players to relive iconic moments behind Rey Mysterio's most famous matches, which I believe includes, he said in the press, his match with Eddie at WrestleMania, and I believe a match with Shawn Michaels as well. In My Rise, players chart their own path to superstardom with Universe Mode and the upgraded creation suite. WWE 2K offers players the ability to fully customize their experience down to the smallest details. From taking control over brands, premium live events, match results, referees, and more. They got that one
gotta,
in there.
Gotta hit the key phrase.
They got it in there. Good job. I wonder who last minute had to go into the game and change pay-per-view to premium live events. We're creating the ultimate custom superstar personas, arenas, and championships. Players can share all their creations with the global WWE 2K22 community with the first time ever cross-platform sharing. That's a big note right there. Cross-platform community creation sharing. That's big. In addition, WWE 2K22 will introduce new modes to WWE 2K experience, including MyGM and My Faction. In MyGM, players step into the role of WWE General Manager and call in shots on the way to building the biggest brand in WWE Universe. From drafting the Ultimate Roster, WWE Superstars Legend, developing iconic rivalries and championship showdowns, players will get the chance to take the reins and prove themselves on sports entertainment's biggest stages. With the franchise first My Faction mode, players can collect and manage the Dream Faction with weekly events and regular updates, providing tremendous challenges and replay value. Keyword replay value, that's a good thing. Okay, so that's all that stuff. Here's the stuff where it costs you the money. WWE 2K editions and pre-order bonuses. WWE 2K22 features four editions of the game, the standard edition, the cross-gen digital bundle, the deluxe edition, and in celebration of the 25th anniversary of the New World Order, the NWO for Life digital edition. So the standard edition will be $59.99 on the previous gen platforms, PS4, Xbox, and PC, while the current gen consoles will be $69.99 for PS5 and Xbox Series X and S in both physical and digital formats. That's key. What I said about PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, originally that wasn't supposed to be a thing.
Yeah.
So that's cool. The extra time allowed that. The cross-gen bundle will be available for $79.99, include the digital standard edition and the StarCade 96 Rey Mysterio pack across previous and current gen within the same PlayStation and Xbox consoles. So you get Rey Mysterio from 96. Cool. The deluxe edition will be $99.99 for all platforms mentioned. The deluxe will include the standard edition plus the Undertaker Immortal Pack, a season pass to all 5 post-launch DLC content packs, the My Rise Mega Boost and Supercharger packs, limited edition WWE Superstar card, Super Card content included in box for physical copies only. The deluxe edition will be available on March 8th, 2022, 3 days early, so that's where you get the whole pre-order thing. Players who purchase the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X or S edition will also receive the Rey Mysterio pack. So, get 3 versions of The Undertaker. I know everyone's like, oh my god, 3 versions of The Undertaker. I know every edition has the 3 versions of The Undertaker, but by the looks of the box cover, you get the one with the mask, Broken Face Taker, and New Version Taker, where he...
Retirement Taker.
You get Retirement Taker, and then the Ministry Taker, I think. The NWO for Life Digital Edition will be $119.99 for all platforms. You get the standard, the deluxe, and the NWO for Life Edition comes with the My Faction EVO cards and an alternate attires for Hollywood Hogan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Six, plus a playable Eric Bischoff character. The WCW Sold Out 97 Arena and the WCW Bash in the Beach 96 Arena. What happened there? I don't know. What side is he on? And the NWO Wolfpack Championship. The NWO for Life Edition will be also available on March 8th, 3 days early. For those who pre-order, you get the Undertaker Moral Pack, which is the 3 Undertaker personas, an Undertaker EVO card, perks and bonuses, including the Undertaker My Faction logo card, wallpaper card, and nameplate card. Who knows what all that is? We'll figure it out as we go. The digital pack will, the pre-order will also include a deluxe and NWO at launch. There's even one where in Australia, I think, if you pre-order, you get a Rey Mysterio mask. I saw that online, so visit www.2k.com or something like that for more information.
So she's gonna be expensive, but you get stuff.
You get a lot of stuff, yeah.
You're getting a lot for the money, which has, I think, been a complaint in the past with some of the packs that you don't really get the value that other people would want, for the cost. And what's nice is it's going to be next gen, so you don't have to worry about that. I think that was one of the reasons for the delay, was they went ahead and made it ready to go for next gen, because it was originally supposed to be out several months ago, and then I think it did get pushed back for the new consoles.
And work out a lot of things.
And work out a lot of bugs, because I think they did some testing. They're like, oh yeah, no, this is not going to go. So, they took the game back in and they're working on it really quickly. I want to compliment the artists on the cover art because they did a beautiful job on the cover art. It's a great trailer. It sounds like they've done a lot of work to the game. Like, I know the last game, which was 2K20, right?
Yeah.
Had a lot of really heavy criticism to it because it was not the best game that they had ever put out, but at the same time, it was very, very rushed. This one, they've completely overhauled it. They've taken it in. They've looked at it, they've redone it, and it seems, just based on everything in the trailer, that it seems like it's going to be a really good game. I think I've also heard from some early testers of it that, like, it's a good game, it's gonna be good. Like, it was a nice surprise to play.
It looks like the entrances, from what I heard, look like, they always look good, but they look like TV entrances, which is nice. So the biggest change, Chad, They finally figured out how to make The Rock's face look like The Rock.
Yeah, they finally, I think, just brought Joanne in and just scanned him.
Cause there's pictures on 2K's website that it actually looks a lot like Dwayne. I mean, if Fortnite can get a good looking Dwayne, I mean, WWE 2K needs a good looking Dwayne.
Yeah, I mean, when Epic Games does it better than the actual WWE, then that's a problem.
So yeah, the hair is gonna be an issue, but I've heard it looks better, the physics are better. A lot of the graphics are very stunning. We went through a bunch of the pictures before the show. They look really good. I'm curious about the longevity of some of the stuff. I've heard that the GM mode's gonna be really good and was very surprising in a good way, that there's a lot of stuff, which means content, which means stuff to do in the game, which is what you want, because the last couple of games, you've had the career mode, and then there wasn't much to go with after that. Universe mode was sort of like copy and paste from what it was before. Hopefully there's more content and keep people playing the game. Also, they announced somewhere in here post DLC content packs. And there's gonna be 5 of them. don't know what they are. Probably additional superstars that didn't make the game because roster changes. That would be my guess. But I want to go circle all the way back. Tim Tatman is the guy in the trailer. Good crossover.
Great crossover. I like that Tim has, like, and his management should be complimented. They're kind of moving him into that sports realm, which is a really good place for him to be. Because he knows sports, right? Like, he was famously in the Super Bowl commercial a couple of years ago, or last year. I think he was in the Super Bowl commercial, which was a surprise, and now he's doing stuff with WWE. He's done stuff with the NFL. He's done stuff, I think, with NBA as well. So it's just a really nice spot to have Tim because he fits that demographic really, really well. And I'm excited to see how they integrate him in. Like I said, I would love to see him like play the game with some of the talent. I would love to see him show up at WrestleMania because WrestleMania is in Dallas.
He may go, he's going to play the game when it comes out. I would expect they offered him. He'll be at WrestleMania, I would assume, if he wants to go, if he can go. So yeah.
Go, Tim. Go. With Taker more.
You're. But no, it's cool. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the game. I want to see fleshed out. What I want to see next is fleshed out gameplay, more idea of like a roster. We'll probably get some sort of roster reveal hopefully in the next few weeks. Hopefully they're putting it together, making it happen, and all that fun stuff. So yeah.
We'll see. The roster, I think, is
work in progress.
Flux. Yeah. We'll see.
I wonder when the cutoff date was for the roster, because
I would say that it's probably going to be relatively recent, that all things considered, because I think,
okay, what's telling is the Canes in the gameplay trailers parts. That should tell you where the roster is.
Well, the fact that they have three versions of Undertaker, which they generally do have, like, a bunch of versions of Taker, they have all his looks, but the fact that they have three is, like, an additional thing, tells you that they needed to fill it out just a little bit. Because normally I think we would have just got the updated version, which I'm curious to see.
We usually get three Takers. We get either gray or purple Taker, an Attitude Era Taker, and current Taker.
Curious to see current Taker. Mm-hmm. I want to see if they rescanned his ass or not. I don't think so, because they just generally have used the same scan of the Undertaker for the last 15 years, but I want to see if they rescanned him.
Yeah.
If they brought him in. Because if they fixed Wayne, they might have fixed Taker.
So yeah. So more coverage coming to the Rack here in the coming weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to review the game for you.
Yep. And just another couple quick notes before we move into some of the other big stories. Becky Lynch has been announced for the Broken Skull Sessions on 128, so that should be fun.
Yep, the Friday before the Royal Rumble.
Raw and NXT are moving to Sci-Fi during the Olympics, so that is starting February 7th and ending February 15th, so mark that on your calendars.
So all you ratings geeks out there, have fun with that.
Ding. Brie Bella is going to be a part of Fox's new reality series, The Real Dirty Dancing, which starts February 1st, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, it's going to air all February long, so that should be something.
Samantha Irvin has been promoted to the SmackDown ring announcer, while Mike Rome is moving over to Raw.
Yep, we're staying on Raw.
We're staying on Raw, so congratulations to her, awesome.
He was doing both for a while after Greg Hamilton left the company, so
yeah.
So now we gotta find a new NXT announcer.
I don't think that'll be a problem.
Nope.
In happy news, Sami Zayn has re-signed with WWE.
This appears to be a multi-year deal, just like his buddy Kevin.
Gotta stick around, gotta stay with the buddy.
Another one for the home team.
Ding. Yes, I do, Brent. I mean, they specifically scan Taker's ass.
I mean, we've looked at it before. We've done things like that with the, anyway. Never
mind. When they said you could get people naked, of course I went in and got them naked, because that's what you do. All right? Just don't at me about that. Everybody else did it too. Don't judge. I know all the guys out there got the girls naked, so just don't. Okay? Just leave me alone. Let me live. Anyway. It's been announced that the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view will take place in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia on Saturday, February 19th. The show will be held at the Jeddah Superdome, and it is the world's largest pillarless superdome.
So I just sent you a picture.
You just sent me a picture.
That building looks epic.
That looks cool.
Like, it looks like the old Elimination Chamber, kind of.
Yeah, it will mimic really, really nicely the shape. And that's new?
This is the new building, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
How they built that.
Yeah.
Did they build it just for WWE?
No, this is what they've been building, and it just, this is the new building they built. And it's like, it just fits perfect. Some would say it hits different.
Ding! Catchphrases! And last but certainly not least for WWE news, Mustafa Ali requested his release from WWE. It has not been granted as of yet, and there is no confirmation of whether it will or will not be granted.
As of airtime, there is no plans to release Mustafa Ali from his WWE contract. I know people go, but why? They let so-and-so. Yes. Yes, they did. Also, so-and-so didn't go public.
Yeah.
If you remember, Luke Harper went public and it took a while. Just remember those facts. When you go public, WWE doesn't always cater to peer pressure.
In fact, they tend to do the exact opposite. They tend to dig their heels in.
Yeah, just a little bit, don't they? It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of what they do.
They get a little stubborn sometimes, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Which is not the best thing for anybody involved, but we'll see if he gets his release. There's no determination of how long he has left on his contract, if they'll make him serve that out. But this stems from disagreements he's had backstage and the general feeling that he has. I think he's very frustrated, and I don't blame him at all for being frustrated, because he's had a lot of stuff go south. They're not really doing anything with him, and I think he just wants to move on. I think he's ready to move on, and hopefully they let him. Or they do something with him, but I don't think they're going to do anything with him, which is sad. Like, cause poor Mustafa, like, just in what, the last year to 2 years, he had Retribution, which was an utter failure. He had the team with Mansoor that actually was doing something and was actually taking off, and then they broke it up for whatever reason, and that fizzled. They had that disastrous hacker storyline for him that just never panned out or paid off. Like, they had all these different things for him that have just never done anything, and poor him, he's just frustrated, I think, because he wants to do things. He wants to wrestle, he wants to perform, and he can't do that because he just can't get on the main TV shows. He's relegated to main event, if he even can even get on that, because he was originally brought in for 205 Live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he can't get on TV, which sucks.
Sucks, but it's WWE.
Yeah, but I hope they do let him go, and I'm hoping he can go somewhere where he will be happy, because he does deserve to be happy.
He feels like he can serve a better purpose elsewhere, and if that's the case, good on him.
Yeah, go do it, dude. Go do the thing. Nobody will judge you for that. So that does it for the WWE news. I can talk. Moving on to the AEWs. Kyle O'Reilly welcomed a baby girl into the world, so congratulations to him and his wife.
Congrats.
AEW announced that they will be releasing an album next month honoring Black History Month with music inspired by the personal journeys of the black athletes of AEW. Titled Who We Are, A Celebration of Excellence, the album will have music written, produced, and performed by Leah Rush, Max Caster, Omega Sparks and Swats, Josiah Williams, Mont Easy, Mega Ran, Cut Right, and E-Quipped. Will Washington, Righteous Reg, Bronson, Rated R. Thank you. I'm sorry. True God, Blizz, Tizzy, Stalo Dom, and more.
And more. The ever famous and more.
I had to lean in real quick because, like, the lettering on Dom was weird, and it, like, was doing weird things with my glasses, and it was like, is that Dom or is that Dorn? Like, what is that? I don't want to say it wrong. So it's like, let me make sure that that's right.
So we'll see what that is. It's an interesting concept for Black History Month.
Yeah, it's cool. They've got a lot of really talented people in there, especially like Josiah Williams. I know he's exceptionally talented. He did the music for Cameron Grimes. So yeah, this should be really cool for them. So congratulations to them.
Injury roundup.
Let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This is a little sad. Eddie Kingston is out with a fractured orbital bone.
# blame Brent.
He will be out for a couple weeks and where he will make his return. And I say it's sad because last night on the Dynamites, John Moxley made his long anticipated return to AEW. He looked wonderful. Like, he looks fantastic, so congratulations to him on completing the program and getting healthy, and let's hope he continues to kick ass without dropping F-bombs on TV.
Without dropping F-bombs on TV, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not the best idea, but that's okay.
It was a heated moment.
It was a heated moment. Somebody insulted him. He had to insult them back, so I completely respect it, but at the same time, don't drop the F-bombs on the TV. They don't like it. Rather, the FCC doesn't really like it. They have problems with it. So, welcome back, Box! And with that, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So NXT opened up with LA Knight driving up to the building and doing his, you know, rebel baby face heading into the ring. Time to get busy, called out Grayson Waller. Waller didn't come out. He said that he expected that he only shows up when Knight turns his back, so Knight said Waller has to understand that every time he comes out of ring, when he hears Grayson sucks from the crowd, he will hear Grayson sucks from the crowd. He said, as much as that chaps his ass is the name of the man who's going to drop him on his head with everybody chanting L.A. Knight. He talked about Waller sabotaging Card Halloween Havoc and not getting the job done. Knight said that Waller did one move in War Games and didn't get the job done. Knight said that one woman turned Waller down because she knew Waller couldn't get the job done. This brought out Grayson Waller. Waller said he had a restraining order for L.A. Knight, so he can't touch him. Waller said Knight was a dork last week for attacking him for no reason whatsoever. Waller said his lawyer said for his and Knight's safety, the restraining order had to happen. Waller handed him the restraining order, and if he gets in with 50 feet of him, he's arrested. The crowd wanted him to rip it up, and then, well, he may have a restraining order against me, but not against him. Him being Dexter Lumis.
Hey, Dexter's back! Woo!
He is indeed back. Good opening segment.
Very good opening segment. I like that we pulled out the whole restraining order trick. That was nice. They're starting to build a feud between LA Knight and Grayson Waller. I can't say I'm exactly excited for it, but this was a good little segment, good setup. We got Dexter back, which is always great. And then we got, like, the beefy bodyguard dude. What is his name? I don't even know what his name is. Did they say what his name is?
They did not. So we had Waller and Dexter in a match, which Waller won, but I did not catch the name for this man.
Okay, so beefy bodyguard dude it is, because I do not know this man. He looks like a younger, more handsome version of Braun Strowman. No lie. With way more hair. Like, thick, good hair.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Don't know who he is, but Waller's got some backup.
Which he needs. The slimy, he always needs the big muscle.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Creed brothers taking on Briggs and Jensen. Saw a little match with the Creed brothers getting the win, and a very excited Malcolm Bivens for the win.
Malcolm Bivens is a national treasure and should be protected at all costs. I'm sorry, he just is.
So they move on in Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic,
which is awesome for them. Good job.
We had an interview with Dante Chen. He talked about being the first Singaporean to debut in WWE last September. He said he's been off TV due to a leg injury. He said he had to watch his friends and co-workers compete while on the sidelines. He said his father passed away 2 months ago. He said he's glad his father ever seen debut match. He's going to do this for his father and do his father and country proud. As of right now, he's back. He took on Guru Raj, and it ended in no contest when Duke Hudson made the run in.
So Duke Hudson's back.
He made sure we knew that. He screamed it.
Well, I mean, the hair. It's different, right?
That's who it was.
What?
Read chat. Okay. That's who the guy was.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
He was from Indus year. Okay. Now I remember who he was. Okay. Thanks, Lance. Lance, while you're here, you want in on the Royal Rumble entry contest? Anyone want in? He'd say I'm in.
I'm in.
You were already then your host.
I don't get a choice.
You're roped in no matter what.
He makes me do things, chat.
Really? Yeah. We're gonna go with that. Joe Gacy was chatting with Harlan.
No. He's not Joe Gacy. He's Dollar Store Bray Wyatt.
Chatting with Harlan, talking about what they could have been in the Dusty Classic. He said it was a disappointment. Then they saw Alice Jones and he's injured. He was on crutches. Jones said it was a training injury and he'll be back in a few weeks. Gacy held the door up for Odyssey so he could go through, and Gacy gave Harlan a few words of encouragement, and well, there was a stare down.
Harlan smash.
Yeah, that's gonna be a thing. Bron Breakker was being interviewed. He was interrupted by Electro Lopez. They're building up the thing between Escobar and Bron Breakker.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine. I'm here with this. Let's do it. Which, I guess the stuff with Zion is over because, Zion lost last week.
Yeah. Looks to be over. Yeah.
Which that kind of fizzled, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of wanted more of that, and we just really didn't get much of a story there. It had huge potential. But, okay, go off. I'll take Santos versus Bron Breakker. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, so the Royal Rumble entry contest work is this. It's simple. We're going to do a drawing on Sunday. We give out a number, and that will be your persons in the Royal Rumble match. It's very simple. You don't have to do anything. It's just you're in. Okay, so... time for the casket ceremony, the funeral with Tony D'Angelo for Petey Poppins.
Glad to know that they still have Taker's caskets. That's good.
Petey didn't listen to nobody, had to be taught a lesson by D'Angelo. D'Angelo then talked about his cousin telling him to take care of business by any means necessary, and that's what, and this was going to be a closed casket because no one wants Pete's face after he got his skull smashed in. He said we can't mourn forever and we can have to move on to bigger, better things. And he wants to be, said he beat one of the most decorated champions in NXT history and is now looking for his own gold around his own waist. He said he's going after the North American Championship, which brought out Carmelo and Trick. Melo talked about his memorial service at the Cruiserweight title last week, was better last week. Trick said he thought Tony and Melo were boys. Tony said he had his own boys and talked about, you know, his family. And Trick mocked them by saying, you know, Ben, Jerry, Larry, Moe, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all skinny like Vic Joseph. Shots fired. Melo said that Tony better keep Melo's business out of his mouth or else he'll be in a closed casket memorial service as well. This brought out Cameron Grimes. Cameron said he has to go to the back, Tony has to go to the back of the line because he said he looked Melo in the ass last week and told him he's coming for the North American Championship. And, well, basically, we're setting up a match between Cameron and Tony D'Angelo with the winner going to probably get Carmelo.
Okay. I mean, I'm here for that. That's good.
Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter tried to cheer up Briggs and Jensen, and Wendy Chu was sleeping on top of lockers saying Jensen was in love.
That is, like, the girls with the guys, is that was, like, the weirdest visual, because it's, like, the two party girls with the two, like, country dudes. It's like, I mean, I'm not against it at all. I'm just, it's like, it was just the weirdest visual, because it looked like they came from a rave or a party or something, and then there's the two cowboy dudes. It's like, okay.
We learned about Valentina Feroz and Ulyssa Leon. One is a judo and jiu-jitsu black belt and a champion from Brazil. And the other was the first ever female-born Mexican WWE superstar. So, they're coming after the tag titles.
It's very exciting stuff. I mean, it looked like good stuff. We saw them a couple weeks ago on NXT, I think. And they look good. They did well. So, hopefully they do well in the Dusty Classic.
Kaylee Ray and Ivy Nile had a good match with Ivy getting the win. Surprise, but also not surprised.
I feel like it was an awkward setup because you're trying to do something with Kaylee Ray and then you're trying to do something with Ivy Nile, but you can't have Ivy lose. Like, so, you just can't do that because she's way more over. So it's like, it's either going to end in a no contest or somebody has to lose. And unfortunately that was Kaylee Ray, but Kaylee looked good.
She did, and you had Mandy Rose with the distraction, and they beat her up, and, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was all good.
We then saw Odyssey Jones laid out, and Harlan holding the crutch.
Harlan smash.
Yeah.
And Dollar Strawberry Wyatt looked very pleased with himself.
Okay, so, we had a promo from Sarray. She talked about how 2021 didn't go as planned. She said she returned to Japan to recover mentally and physically. She found a medallion that her grandmother gave her. She said her grandmother told her to never give up. Was her grandmother John Cena? And that her grandmother was her hero. She said the necklace reminded of her where she came from. She said in the ring she's a warrior of the sun and outside the ring she's Sarai. She's going to return to NXT with a new passion and energy.
It was a good little promo. It's nice to see that she's coming back.
Yep. With a new look. The schoolgirl look. Cause anime in 2022 is the thing.
Not gonna judge.
Nope. Legado del Fantasma took on Ida's Inov and Malik Blade in a Dustin Rhodes Tag Team Classic match, which saw Bron Breakker lead a distraction and leading to Blade and Enoff getting the win.
This was good. I like this. I was a little surprised that they took Legato out of it early, but I feel like they're going to be needed against Bron Breakker. Mm-hmm. I like that you had Bron Breakker with the distraction where he just literally carried off Escobar.
Yeah.
Like, he just walked off with him. He's like, this is mine now. Bye. But yeah, no, I thought this was really good. It was very entertaining, very fun. Mm-hmm. I just like Legato. I think they're good.
Dakota Kai beat Yulissa Liana, who we mentioned a few moments ago. Quick little match. Dakota Kai got the win, and then she took out her partner as well.
Yeah, this was good. This was fun. Very pink.
Yes, very, very pink.
Lots of pink.
We had a confrontation between Raquel Gonzalez and Coral Jade, and Cora wanted to know Gonzalez wanted to be back-to-back Dusty Classic champions, and she likes Jade's, but thanks, but no thanks.
Ash, that's never going to happen. Never.
They have a brutal monster heel. His name is Harlan.
Yeah, they're not going to bring him back.
Look up Harlan. He's a badass.
They're not interested in having people being permanent talent down there, or even long-term talent down there. They're interested in having people get trained, get over, and get up to the main roster. Like, we're probably going to see a big pull from NXT for the Rumble. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that happens.
Maybe. I don't know how far that's gonna go. We'll see.
At the very least, it'll happen after Mania.
Yeah. Cora is like, I'll convince her. You'll see. So they're trying to figure it out. We then had our main event. Walter taking on Roderick Strong.
The match is fine. Walter is brutal as ever. We need to talk about what happened. Walter got the win. We need to talk about what happened after the match and why everybody's in a tizzy about this. Which, by the way, before we go into this, it has been dropped. Basically, the setup for this is that WWE tried to register a trademark for Gunther Stark.
Okay. Now.
Which, if you know your history, it has affiliations and ties to Nazi Germany. So it's probably not the best name to use, especially for a talent. And people on the internet found this out. And people on the internet got upset. And people on the internet were yelling and screaming, especially when they applied the name Gunther to Walter after the match. They said it exactly one time. And it's Gunther picks up the win. I believe that's the phrase that got used.
Walter said Gunther with the win. The winner of the match is Gunther. So, there's that. One, y'all got yourself worked up over reading the internet dirt sheets. Because WWE never said his name. Never said Gunther Stark on television. So you all read the dirt sheets and the news sites that said, hey, they filed for this trademark, which was not associated with anyone. But you tried to piece things together. And you worked yourselves up into a tizzy and complained on the internet because of a thing. It's a stupid name. That's besides the point, but you all worked yourself up over nothing because it didn't actually happen, but you made it tie it together. How dare they call him Gunther Stark and they never actually did. But you all went on the internet and complained about it because you didn't watch the television show or the promo. You all just read the internet and one person said Gunther and you tied it all together. Watch the product.
Do you feel better?
Stop caring about dirt sheets. Because you don't care about them at all. You say, don't read the dirt sheets. Then you all read the dirt sheets, and then you complain about the dirt sheets. Watch with your eyes and listen with your ears what actually is on the television program, not on the PW insiders who read the trademarks. I'm good.
You feel better?
I feel much better now.
I'm glad. I'm glad you feel better.
I've been holding that in for a minute.
Yeah, I know you have. You've been holding it in since Tuesday. So there's no confirmation on if they're going to change Walter's name or not. I hope they don't.
They did. It's on .com.
Damn it. I'm not sure why they did it.
Probably.
Other than for trademark purposes, because he will not give them, because I think his real name actually is Walter.
It is.
So they can't trademark it. And so obviously for all of the legal purposes, they changed his name. I personally don't agree with changing his name, especially since he's been on the product for several years as Walter. I always feel like that's a little confusing because it's like he's just Walter and now he's just Gunther. I'm not going to criticize the choice of the name because I don't know if he came up with it or if WWE came up with it.
Or Kyle O'Reilly 3 years ago.
Or Kyle O'Reilly 3 years ago came up with it. Well, I mean, they could have wanted to change it 3 years ago. And they just decided not to do it because he was on UK, and UK is not as watched in the US as what regular NXT is, and so they just let it ride. Because I think at that point, too...
Then COVID happened, too.
And COVID happened, too, but I think at that point, Walter had no interest in coming to the U.S. Like, I think he was just doing UK, and they very slowly whittled him down to the point that he wants to come to the U.S. Dolores helps with that, too. So here we are. It could be an indication that they're getting him main roster ready, that they're just going to change his name and they're going to send him up. Like, they're going to have him in NXT for, like, a cup of coffee. And then he's going to go because, truth speaking, he's been in developmental forever. He doesn't really need to do much of anything down there other than they just use his star power for NXT. You have him have a couple matches, potentially with Bron Breakker, just because why the fuck not? And then you send Walter up. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if we don't see Walter in the Rumble. Or I should say Gunter in the Rumble, but he's Walter. His name is Walter. I'm sorry. I'm going to call him Walter.
I know. Most people will too. We'll see if they retract it next week.
We'll see. I mean, I feel like you could add a last name to it, and you could trademark the first name and the last name together, and it would be fine. Like, obviously, a last name would be weird because we just know him as Walter, and that's, like, the whole appeal of him is it's just, he's the big, badass dude that's gonna slap the shit out of you, and his name is just Walter. I think I've made this comparison before when it's like, you're watching a movie and the hero goes into this bar and he's like, okay, I'm gonna fight you now. And they're like, okay, well, you know, you can fight me, but you have to fight Walter first. And the guy's like, okay, yeah, let me have Walter. And then Walter walks out and of course he's, you know, built like a brick shit house. So it's that kind of trope where when you first see Walter, you just hear the name and you're like, Walter, who's Walter? And then he walks out and you're like, oh, snap, that's Walter. So we'll see.
So one thing, props to the internet for the Gunther memes from Friends.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
That was good. That's NXT.
So with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week. And we are talking all about Cody Rhodes' future. Yes, because there's some other news that we didn't talk about earlier that we need to talk about in the second half of the show. So you have that to look forward to. So everybody, go get some water, go run to the bathroom or get some snacks or do whatever you got to do because we're going to take a break. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
bang event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you a fan of Genshin Impact? Then join Lindsay for Genshin Impact live streams. Follow her through the magical world of Genshin as she fights off all of the creatures on the island, finishes her tasks, and yells at the characters. All live streams can be found on YouTube. Just search for Linsword or go to linsword.rackradioshow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linsword. That's LINSWARD to know when she goes live. You can also use creator code Lins and Ward in the Epic Game Store because she is a hashtag Epic partner.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell out. join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what
they didn't like,
and
what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way. You can follow the channel. You can hang out in chat, or you can listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, I give you Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Still allowed to play that song?
Shh. I don't know.
I thought about that the other week, and I was like, how do we get away with that? Is it not copyrighted?
I don't know. We're good so far.
Okay.
Don't put it out into the universe.
Not gonna jinx it. Not gonna jinx it. It's fine. You didn't hear anything.
You never heard anything.
Anyway, Jenny Yokobori. I'm at 29k followers. Should I do something for 30k? What does one do? Koi Dao, left elbow reveal. She replies, nah, that costs money. And Koi goes, I'm glad you know your worth. She responds, new year, new me.
Now, who are these people?
Jenny Yokobori is the voice actress for Yo-Yo Mia in Genshin Impact, and Koi Dao is the voice actor for Albedo in Genshin Impact.
What's Genshin Impact?
It's a video game that I play on YouTube.
How do you get to that?
You go to linsward.rockradioshow.com and you follow my channel on YouTube or subscribe. I don't have the language down yet, but just ring the goddamn bell. Just hit the button. It's so easy. It's simple. I stream like 3 days a week during the week and occasionally on the weekends. There's all kinds of videos and stuff on there too. Go check it out.
That's youtube.com and you search Linsward. Or linsward.rockradioshow.com. You can also use Lins M. Ward in the Epic Game Server, because why?
I'm a hashtag Epic partner.
That's how you do a plug. Ding.
I'm learning chat. I'm still in plug school. Anyway, Ann Yatko, who is the voice actress for the Raiden Shogun, one promises to do a cosplay that 10k followers later, one has not done yet. And Acetus, who she's not in Genshin as far as I know, taps foot. And Anne goes, I know, I'm on it. Okay, that's fine. They can be owned. Technically, the U.S. is owned by them too, so I don't know what to tell you. The Hill. And this is a controversy. This is quite the controversy. M&M characters to become more inclusive. Basically, they put the green M&M in sneakers, which, number one, I say if she wants to be comfy, let her be comfy. Okay? Brown still has her heels and her glasses, so that's fine. However, there is a giant uproar over the M&Ms.
You don't say.
Where the internet is freaking out because they changed the green M&M where they took away her go-go boots and they put her in sneakers.
Yes.
And I forget what the exact headline was.
From what, Rolling Stone?
Yeah.
I can give you that in a second.
But basically it's like, let the green M&M, here we go, let the green M&M be a nasty little slut. That is the actual headline. Somebody went to journalism school for that, and I'm very proud of them for it.
Fantastic, fantastic headline.
We need more headlines like that in the world. Anyway, Neil Bad Bitch Harris. Instead of making the green M&M less sexy, they should have all made them all sluttier. I agree. They should have.
Yep.
Totally. Mary Kish, pour one out for the slutty green M&M. We'll miss you, ho. Kelly Keggs, I don't think I'm any more or less of a hype woman to my friends if I'm in sneakers or heels. Regardless, I'm going to be the sluttiest whore bag version of the green M&M for Halloween out of spite. I appreciate this wholeheartedly. Do it and take pictures and put them on the internet so we can all see it.
Yes.
That's all I have.
Brian Graham, I'm sorry, but to me, the M&M should always be inexplicably horny cannibals. True.
Very true.
Candace, this is a huge win for the oppressed M&Ms. True. Dave Schilling, the M&M's characters now have student loan debt. Again, true. If we're updating M&Ms, I need the brown one to be even sluttier. True. Craigo Pogo, I'm glad the M&Ms are getting backstories. The lack of official lore has been the black hole in the candy media universe. Finally, there will be clarity. Master of the TDS, new M&M slogan, diversity, you can taste. Joy Abroad, when Troy Aikman passionately disagrees with a penalty against the Eagles, you know you made a bad call. Fake John Madden. Personal foul, touching Tom Brady, on the defense. Yeah. And fake John Madden. That was the most Mike McCarthy way to lose a game in history.
It was kind of fucked up. I have a late entry.
Okay.
Because we need to help the man. So Griffin Burns, who is the voice of Child, your favoritest person ever.
Goddamn.
Girl, I know, you got the feels. Coy Dower responds, I don't understand your account. And then he follows it up, help me ratio Griffin Burns, please. Everybody go to Coy Dow's account and help him ratio Griffin Burns, please.
Ratio plus L plus Ninja was better.
I'm putting the Twitter handle in the chat.
Okay.
Because reasons. I also just, I know nobody on this show cares, but spoilers, if for the second Albedo, if he ever gets any like lines or anything like that, please just let it be Coy Dow being a chaotic little, you know what, for the entire time because it would be hilarious. Anyway, no, they didn't really like step into like a burning bag of dog shit. It's just everybody's more or less making fun of the fact that they did what they did.
Yeah, it's just mocking how culture has changed and how you have to be more inclusive in the world. I found my topic for Saturday. We're going to get more into this.
I was going to say, I'm going to let you set this up because this is your thing. So you set this up because now we're going to talk about Cody.
Yeah, okay. To wrap up the M&M thing, we'll talk more about that Saturday. We'll go through it all in detail. Not just stupid humor on Twitter. Okay, let's talk about Cody Rhodes. So on Monday, Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select, reported that Cody Rhodes is no longer under contract with All Elite Wrestling as a professional wrestler and as an executive vice president. That is the statement. He is not under contract with the company at present time. The fact that he is no longer under contract and is their champion is an interesting thing. They created an interim championship when Cody missed 2 weeks of television due to COVID-19. So this leads to a lot of speculation of people, what is Cody Rhodes' future? Well, the short answer is, Cody Rhodes will remain with All Elite Wrestling going forward because he is tied to Turner Broadcasting Networks with his show, Go Big Show, and Rhodes to the Top. Now, you ask if I'm giving you the short story answer, why is this even a discussion? Because the key is this. Why did it get to this point? Why did his contract actually run out? That's where we are. Why did his contract run out? That I'm amazed they got there, Lindsay.
This is a little surprising that he is no longer under contract on both sides. Like, that's what was really fascinating to me about this, is that it's like the wrestling contract, okay, all right, you know, things happen, but it's the EVP, the fact that he was under contract as an EVP in AEW, which makes me question the whole EVP role to begin with. Like, I know Cody and the others do things for the company. However, we don't actually know what the corporate structure of AEW is. That's never been released because it's not public information. It's a private company. It's privately held. So they just don't put that out there, which, respect that. You know, it totally makes sense. But it just makes me wonder that it's like, because he's no longer under contract as an EVP, does that mean that the role was never really a real thing, that it was more of just like a honorary title that was included as part of his wrestling contract, and that it was just all for show? Like, what does that mean? Like, are the others like that as well? Like Kenny and the Bucks, that like they're under EVP contracts, or excuse me, EVP contracts, and therefore when those run out, they're no longer EVPs in the company? Like, how does that work?
It's interesting when you think about it, right? Why is one tied to the other? Why?
Like, I've heard in the corporate world of people signing like retention contracts, where basically you sign a contract for a specific amount of time to stay in a job. I have heard of that. I know somebody that's done that.
Yeah.
But like, this is just very, very strange to me, especially when the company started, that like, why would you put him under two contracts? That just doesn't make any sense to me. And I understand that Tony Khan has his reasonings. I'm not criticizing it at all. I just don't understand it. I don't understand the need for, on the corporate side of things specifically, why you would do that.
I understand it, but at the same time, it was probably all one contract that just sort of
expired.
Ended.
Like, yeah. The EVP was worked into his wrestling contract, which would make sense.
That's where I think that goes. But again, I go back to, why did it take to this point to them not having a contract? If all things are rosy and everything is the best it's ever been, why did Cody Rhodes not sign a new deal? There are people saying, well, he hasn't been to TV in a couple of weeks.
And well, maybe, he's been shooting things.
Well, he's been home with COVID for the last couple of weeks. And he's supposed to be at the show in January, and that's maybe when he was going to sign his contract. Why did it take to January to sign a new contract? Why didn't he sign the extension back 6 months ago?
Because maybe things aren't as rosy as we would like to believe.
There you go. Like, that's the thing. If things are so rosy, why do, like, everyone talks about WWE contracts, and WWE goes to talents a year before their contract expires to talk to them about a new deal. Let's talk about Johnny Gargano. He knew a year ago that he probably wasn't going to resign. He made up his mind in July that he was not going to resign. But WWE kept coming to him with offers probably for a year. Talking, hey, what do you think? What's going on? Chris Jericho has talked about it many times, and other wrestlers have talked about how WWE comes to you a year before your contract expires to come up with a new agreement. Why didn't Cody get a new contract before this point? That boggles my mind, because he's the guy this company was built around. And now it's being built around others. Maybe that's part of his leverage, why he decided not to sign a contract, because he's seen new people come into his company. The man who started the revolution, based on his promo last night, where he did everything CM Punk was going to do, and now CM Punk is there.
Right.
Bryan Danielson is there. Adam Cole is there. Cody is not beloved as he once was, because the fans, you know, boo him, they jeer him instead of cheer him these days. Because they figured, you know, the bloom is off the rose and he's busy doing Go Big Show and whatever else he wants to do.
Cody went Hollywood and they don't like it.
So is this a play on Cody's part, going, I know I'm going to stay, but, you know, I can still call up Vince McMahon and say, hey Vince, sup? Rumble?
And that's really where all of this stems into, is that once the news of the contract being expired got out, suddenly rumors started flying that the potential could be that Cody Rhodes could be in the Royal Rumble. He's not under any obligation to AEW. He said he's going to show up on the shows, but Cody says a lot of things. And he'll say anything to suit his own interests, especially on TV for the character. So he could be completely covering. He could be in the Royal Rumble. I would tend to doubt it, just because I don't think Tony or Vince would be okay with that. Especially if Cody's going to turn around and go right back to AEW when he's done it.
Yeah,
and that's the whole big, like, key in this, is it's like, if Cody goes in the Rumble, I think it would be expected that he would sign a contract with WWE. What's interesting is that, what, six-ish months ago, give or take, there were rumors flying that Cody, that, one, there were rifts between the EVPs.
Which have been going on for years.
Which have been going on for years. That leaked out. And that also that Cody Rhodes, specifically Cody Rhodes, had lost power in the company.
It's interesting, huh?
How that all played out.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the Royal Rumble thing for a minute.
Okay.
That would be, you know, so hysterical to watch the internet melt out over it. It would be great. It will never happen, but the Cody stands, the ones that are still exist out there, that love themselves from Cody Rhodes and will praise everything he does. Where he went so anti-WWE and now it goes back to WWE. Oh, I want to see that internet burn down. Ooh. I love a good internet meltdown. I love the drama. It's the best. Won't happen, but oh god, it would be fantastic.
The internet would implode on itself. Like, they wouldn't know what to do. It would be epic to just sit here with popcorn and watch. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I actually, because I didn't get my goddamn tie in the playoffs, and we didn't get the chaos that we all wanted in the football playoffs. Give me the chaos in the wrestling world. Give it to me. You want to talk about making an impact in professional wrestling? Just imagine Cody Rhodes rolling up to the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks. You want to talk about impacts? You want to talk about chaos? You want to talk about all the things? That would be it. It would be amazing to watch.
Because, okay, so let's play this out as it would happen. He would then be the first guy, major superstar, to jump from one promotion to the other in the opposite direction.
Yep. And he would be one of the founders to do it, too.
Yep.
He's not just a talent. He is one of the founders of AEW.
He's not Chris Jericho, who's gone everywhere. Chris Jericho coming back to WWE one day is not a big deal.
Nope.
Cody going back after he quit the company and created his Revolution list and went out and did his things and went everywhere and helped found AEW with Tony Khan and all this stuff. Him going back would be something of a, that would be a story. Is it gonna happen? No. But if it did, the stands, I would love it.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna happen.
No.
Tony will either put him back under a contract, or Vince will expect him to sign a contract, like, or it just won't happen. I mean, it's just, that's just the whole cold hard reality of it, because I don't think Tony, as much as he would say he would love it, I don't think Tony would be down with that at all. Because now it's, Cody's going to go to WWE, he's going to appear on their TV, I very much doubt they would let him take the belt with him, I very much doubt that they would let him even acknowledge AEW on TV, although stranger things have happened because look at Mickie James, but that's the make good. So for Cody, especially given the circumstances that Cody left in, I don't know if they would be as willing or as forgiving to work with him. And again, Vince would automatically expect him in some way, shape, or form to sign some kind of contract, even if it's only for a year or even if it's only for 6 months, where you come in, you do the Rumble, you could go work WrestleMania if you want. You get that big payday. And then if you want to go, you know, go back to AEW after you're done, that's fine. But basically they're not going to tolerate Cody being in the Rumble on Saturday and then showing up on Dynamite on Wednesday.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to be okay Mm-mm. with that. Neither side is going to be okay with that.
Nope.
I don't care what people say. That's not going to be kosher. So that's why it just won't happen in that way.
Yeah.
Contracts will be involved if that occurs.
God, I love a meltdown though.
Oh god, a meltdown. It would be an epic thing. It would be absolutely cool. But this, I kind of want to talk about AEW's contract structure because it's kind of, cause you mentioned it's like, how did we get here, right? How did you let Cody Rhodes let his contract expire and he's working as a free agent, which is a really weird scenario, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad scenario, especially for someone like him, because he's he's already looking at the next step. Like, Cody left WWE and he knew that he had to build his name on the indies, right? Because he was trained by WWE, he was brought up through the system in WWE, he is a WWE baby. Like, he learned everything that he learned more or less from his dad and from WWE and his brother, of course. But he had never been out on the indies, he had never really worked the indies, he was in OVW since he was like 19. So, he knew that he had to go out and he had to make his name, which is what he did. He went to Japan, he went to the indies, he went to ROH, did all the things. And then as he's on the indies, he's already looking at the next step, which is, okay, all right, I want to be a star. I want to be a major star. I want to prove Vince wrong. I want to prove to Vince that I can be a mainstay star in any company that I'm in, including my own, which is where AEW comes in. Basically, AEW was formed on a dare, right? Like, they did the one show, and then someone in ROH, I think the owner of ROH, dared them to create their own company, and they did. And it's successful, and it's great. But Cody's looking at the future. He knows he can't wrestle forever. He doesn't want to wrestle forever. He wants to retire young, so that way he can enjoy his life. Like, I think he's publicly said multiple times that he wants to retire by, what, like 35 or 38 or something like that?
40.
Yeah, 40. So that way he can... Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
So he can enjoy his life. So he's already looking at the next steps of, okay, I want to retire by the time I'm 40. It's already been set up in AEW. He can never win the main title. He can only hold the TNT title or the tag titles. That's it. Or any other title that they create for him. Like, he cannot win the main title unless that gets reversed. Which they could do that. Like, realistically, he could have a match, they could reverse it, and...
The ultimate heel move is he goes against the contract, boom, done.
Yeah, boom, done. Like, there's easy ways to get around it. But, like, he's already looking at the next step. Like, he's been on the Go Big show. He's doing things outside of AEW because he's setting himself up for the future for when he retires from wrestling. He's banking on the name and the relevance that he has now to book a bunch of stuff out so he doesn't have to worry about it later and he can continue to stay relevant as he continues to book jobs. That's what he's doing. So for someone like Cody, I feel like having him being a free agent in quotations is not necessarily a bad thing for him or AEW.
Mainly for him. It's not a bad thing for him.
It's not a bad thing for him because I feel like he could then at that point come and go as he wants to. And if him and Tony would want to do like a handshake deal, that's fine. If they want to put something down on paper, that's fine. But I feel like if you almost made Cody like a pay-per-play player in AEW, which is what Impact did there in the dark times that we don't ever talk about. But where it's basically, if Cody's there, he gets paid. He gets on TV, that kind of stuff. If he's not there, he doesn't want to work, or he's off shooting the Go Big Show, or he's off doing TV or movies or whatever else he wants to do, or he's at home with his wife and his baby. He doesn't get paid, right? Because he's not there. He doesn't have a guaranteed contract. It's pay-per-play. Like, I feel like that might be a good thing for him. I'm not a contract expert. I don't know his financial situation, but just based on the situation and based on how they're doing it, it's like, that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going there. I'm sure they're trying to work a deal out with him.
Oh yeah, they've been negotiating. He may be under contract as of today. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. There's been no update on his contract situation. He could have signed it Wednesday. We don't know. But I just think it's kind of a neat concept, especially for someone like him. Now, someone like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, no, you want them under contract. You want to limit where they can go. Not that Punk's gonna go anywhere else.
And at the end of the day, you do want him to be under contract. That's,
yeah.
You want that. We'll see what happens though.
Yeah. And I mean, you limit where Cody could go, even under a paper, like play contract. Like basically, you cannot go to WWE under contract to AEW. Like that's just, no. You can't do that. But, you know, it's like if you want to go, you know, host an NFL game or a golf game or whatever he's interested in, whatever he wants to do, especially if it's on like TNT or TBS, it would probably be okay.
Yeah.
But at some point, he's going to want to grow beyond that.
Yeah. At some point. But it's just an interesting thing to look at going. It got to a point where he had no contract when that should never happen. And they should look in the mirror and go, we can't let that happen to anyone else that we want to build around, because that would be bad for business.
It's super bad for business. Like, you never want someone, especially like Cody Rhodes, who is very, very motivated to do as much as he possibly can. You don't want people like that coming out from under their contracts, because he will make a move.
Yeah.
He will absolutely do that. because that's what he wants to do. Like he, like I said, he's ambitious. He's motivated. He wants to raise his standing in the world. So you have him come out from underneath the contract, and now all of a sudden the world is his oyster. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Like he could have looked at Tony Khan on Wednesday and been like, you know what? I'm good. Peace out. And walked out. And there wouldn't be anything they could do for him.
Nope.
Like anything to him. You know, it's just like he could just straight up walk out and never come back. Now it would make things awkward for his wife because Brandy works for AEW as far as we still know. But Cody could just peace out and go, like we said, show up in the Rumble and sign a contract with Vince and go back and work for Vince. And there isn't a damn thing Tony Khan can do about it.
So we'll see what happens.
It's an interesting situation. I'm surprised Tony Khan let himself get in it, honestly.
Yeah, that's very surprised.
But I think that does it for us. Yes, Brent, that's what we're saying.
Don't acknowledge this terrible pun.
So anyway, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
New for the Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The Royal Rumble entry contest is open. We'll be having the drawing this Sunday on WTR Sunday night at 10 PM Eastern. But before that, Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Before that, we will have Fortnite with Friends. So 10:30-ish Eastern and leading into CB Radio. As I mentioned, WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio Sunday, 10 PM Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 PM Eastern. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 PM Eastern, to preview the Royal Rumble.
Ding!
We'll talk all about it. It'll probably be just the entire show of Royal Rumble, because I love the Royal Rumble. I love me some Royal Rumble. We got two of them, so I love me some Royal Rumble, so we're going to talk about it next Thursday. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, or wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's on podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Speaking of Amazon, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming and Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code ROCKINSOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because I am a hashtag Epic partner. We are hashtag
we,
Epic.
We, not an I. It's a we. This is a we. This is a we. Not the game, the gaming console. This is a we. Our Epic partners. There's a bunch of new skins in the item shop. Go buy them. All the icon skins and dancers are there. We got Hawkeye. Hawkeye skins are in the shop tonight. With a new glider. New style glider. It's cool. Check it out. Hashtag Epic Partner. Now it's you.
Oh, he changed the name on Twitter. It's official.
It's Gunther.
It's Gunther. He's Gunther. Sad. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. Go check out my YouTube channel, Lynn's M. Ward, or Lynn's Ward, .rockradioshow.com. And as Rock said, you know, use the creator code. But yes, please, ring the bell, like the channel, follow the channel on YouTube. I'd very much like to get my own YouTube URL, so if we could make that happen, I would greatly appreciate it. Tell your friends if they're interested in crappy video game play. We have a good time over there.
No,
it's fun.
No. Exciting gameplay and knowledgeable facts and stuff about Genshin Impact. Learn, enjoy, subscribe, ring the bell. Ding.
Yes, please, you know, ring the bell.
See, I pump her up, she talks herself down. I'm here to push her up, she talks herself down. So acknowledge her. Lynn's Ward on YouTube.
Yes, go follow the channel. We have a good time over there. So, with that, also please go check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And with that, Rock and I are going to go. We will see you next week with our Royal Rumble preview show. Till then, you've been listening to Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we're out. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.